I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Afternoon at the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to our radio show.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Actually, they do have time. What else are you doing?
Right. This is the...
we'll kill some
it's
time.
It's a pandemic. Of course you have time.
Yeah. Is it still a pandemic?
Sort of.
Yeah. I thought the pandemic was canceled.
Yeah, COVID's gone, right?
No, it's not gone.
Oh,
come
okay.
on. I do think we're in a pandemic, but I tell you, it feels really the...
Look,
what would be the word?
It's tenuous, right? It's I feel like COVID's holding on by its fingernails.
Pandemic is losing.
It is. It's losing its grip. It had a big lead. You know what this is? This is the Houston Texans. They were up big on the Kansas City Chiefs and were feeling really good about themselves. And then Kansas City started throwing touchdowns, and all of a sudden it was like, oh boy, the momentum is shifted. And the momentum is not on COVID's side right now. Far from it.
All right. Well, here's what's coming up. Do you want your sportsers?
Yes. No.
Maybe. Do you want political or social commentary from them? This will be the Vic Fangio edition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, Drew Brees.
And Drew Brees, yep. We got to talk about that,
he
too.
He caught some flack. You know, it's been about 4 years since we lost Muhammad Ali, and I've seen plenty of people that have pointed out that a guy like that, and there's not many. I think he was one of a kind, but... I think sports could really use a voice like that right about now.
And is a 50-game Major League Baseball season, is that kind of cool? I've got a primetime follow-up in the club. Animal trials, since I know you didn't do any homework on this.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Did you find the Wikipedia page on animal trials?
No, I did not. But I have the definitive thing, can an animal testify in court? And I also have five times... Three in the U.S. and two in Europe where animals played a key role in trials.
Okay, so you may have seen the same thing I did. I didn't do much follow-up, but I did find a Wikipedia page about animals being put on trial, and it is hilarious. Well, it has been a thing for centuries.
Yeah, so two
they tried
things.
A pig in the 1200s.
And executed him. This I did see. Yes, back in the olden days... they would literally put animals on trial and then the animal would lose his life. But there has been, I have five modern cases. Again, three in the U.S., two in France, by the way, where animals were, they're not witnesses because I'll let the cat out of the bag. A animal cannot testify in court. Can't be
done. So this parrot that we were talking about yesterday that saw the rape and murder of his owner.
He can be used as evidence, but he cannot testify. Because only...
I know, por favor, soltame.
only a human can testify because you have to be able to take an oath and you have to be able to be cross-examined. So an animal cannot take the witness stand,
Why can't you cross-examine an animal?
You can't do it. Only a homo sapien can be used as a witness.
I love that this is all written in law.
Like. It is. Like, there is an actual law on the books that talks about this, but that doesn't stop. So I've got two birds... and a cat, and then two dogs in France that played that key played role. Key roles.
So we'll have that follow up for you in the club right now.
See, you didn't think I did my homework.
No, I didn't at all. I had no faith.
What the hell else am I going to do?
Yeah, but you never do anything you say you're going to do. Okay. So
it's fair
for me to have questioned that you would come to the table with anything on this. But you did.
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
And the pig trial, which you did your homework, so you can talk about the pig trials.
All right. Why is Taysom Hill trending?
I don't know. Well, I think...
Because now they want Drew Brees canceled.
Drew Brees, yeah.
He gets canceled.
Drew Brees is about ready to get canceled. Doug Baldwin's all pissed at him. Doug Baldwin went right at him.
Okay. We'll get to that. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics. Hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Yeah, he's dead.
Very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
So the dog.
This is against my civil rights.
Number five.
Major League Soccer and its players have come to terms on a restart summer tournament. They will play it in Florida.
Yeah, everything's about Florida now. When in doubt, just go to Florida. Because that's obviously where the NBA is going to restart.
Details still to come on the whole tournament thing. But they did a revised CBA in Major League Soccer, and it applies for the next 6 years.
Yeah, it's a 5% salary cut, which isn't, you know, in the grand scheme of things, 5%.
But is that for the whole term of the CBA?
I think so.
Or is that just now?
Oh, So
this is a six-year CBA.
Yeah, six-year CBA.
And it says it includes across-the-board pay cuts and reduced bonuses.
Yeah, so from my understanding, what I read, again, just one man's interpretation, it sounded like that was just going forward, it's 5%. So not that you can't have a contract redone, but I'm assuming that meant like league maximum salaries, because there is a salary structure there. Because remember, the MLS is not individually team-owned. It's... you know, it's all under one umbrella.
Right. All right. Tom Penn's still an owner?
Number
isn't he a...
Four.
Or is he...
I think Penn is one of the... I don't think he's the only owner, but I think he's part of the California group.
The LA team?
Yeah, the LA team.
Governor Kate Brown addressed college sports today, saying athletes will be allowed to return to campuses June 15th, as the Pac-12 has stated. Here is her quote. Quote, "We are working with public health experts... with training experts to make sure that collegiate sports can begin training mid-June. I am confident that regardless of the time frame and the comparison to the state of Washington, that our Ducks and Beavers can tackle the Huskies and Cougars anytime.
God, I hate...
That is obviously on a limited capacity for training," end quote.
I hate when politicians try to get cute and clever. They can tackle the Cougs! But USC came out and they announced that they're going to have kids back on campus beginning in August. And it sure sounds like there is a ton of momentum for some capacity of kids being on campus. And once that happens, then you can get student athletes. And the only real question now is, does the season start on time and is there fans? But there is going to be a football season this fall, barring some sort of major flare up.
According to Nick Daschle of Oregon Live and the Oregonian, Oregon State has announced 23 reductions to its athletic staff today.
Yeah. And this is going to be, by the way, most universities across, whether you're talking about cutting staff, whether you're talking about cutting pay, or just sports in general, there is going to be a huge budgetary crunch, especially at smaller, smaller places with smaller budgets.
Oregon State plays Oklahoma State to begin its season September 4th. Three Oklahoma State players tested positive for COVID as they returned to campus in Stillwater. They there tested 150 people, including athletes, administration, and staff. And these three players were the only three positive tests out of all 150.
They should have done the Arkansas model and just not tested anybody, and then they'd never have known.
Well, right, because that's what's interesting is these three guys were all asymptomatic.
Yeah,
they were not showing symptoms.
Yeah.
And at Arkansas, they aren't going to test unless you are showing symptoms. So,
I love the Arkansas model of, let's not worry about it. I'm guessing at Arkansas, you really got to show some symptoms before you get a test.
Major League Baseball makes it official. They have rejected the players' 114-game proposal. They will not offer a counter. This means that Commissioner Rob Manfred may be forced to step in and mandate a 50-game season under previously agreed upon terms.
Well, and there's some, and we don't even know if he can do that. MLB thinks they have some legal wiggle room to do that, but you know, again, if the players want to challenge that, then you just get into a court battle. Either way, this is not good news for baseball. Soccer has an agreement. The NBA has an agreement. The NHL has an agreement to come back. The NFL and college football seem to be on a fast track. The only sport with this hangup right now is baseball. And how bad is that going to look if everything comes back but baseball can't get its crap together?
Yeah. Apparently under the plan that Manfred thinks he can use, there would be no additional salary reductions for players, but it would only be 50 games and there would be no fans in the stands.
Well, and that's what baseball wants. Baseball's like, fine, if you won't take a greater pay cut, 50 games. And that just means less salary, and that's something that the players are balking at. Remember, they want 100-plus games. Again, because they get paid prorated, you know, per game.
The NBA will restart July 31st in Orlando and culminate its season if there is a Game 7 of its finals on October 12th. This will be ratified tomorrow. Here are the details. 13 teams from the West, including the Blazers. 9 teams from the East. So that's all 16 playoff teams, plus any team that's within 6 games of a playoff spot. They will all play 8 regular season games. We do not know which games on the schedule they will play, but there is a report that they will just pick off the next 8 games that were upcoming on their regular season schedule.
So if you had like Golden State, that gets eliminated, and then you just move down to where the next team that's currently there, you know, that you'll play.
So after those 8 regular season games that they'll play, there will be a play-in tournament for the final spot in each conference, but only if the 9 seed finishes within 4 games of the 8 seed. It'll be double elimination for the team in the 8th spot and single elimination for the team in the 9th. We have no idea what will happen if a bunch of teams tie. And that would only be applicable in the West.
Exactly, because in the East, there's only
one other team.
The West would be slightly different, but from everything I've read, it just said that you will have a maximum of 4 play-in games, which would be 2 in the East, 2 in the West. So it doesn't sound like if there's teams that are tied for the 9th spot, that there's going to be some sort of playoff there. They'll have to find some way to do a tiebreaker, win percentage, or head-to-head, or whatever, but sounds like it's just going to be the 8 or 9 in the play-in tournament.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. The best way to chill this summer is with Coors Light's new limited edition summer cans. Pick them up anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Do you want political and social commentary from your sportsers? Vic Fangio / Drew Brees edition. Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Text the fan text line 503-250-1080. We have a new number. So the old one doesn't work. You have to text 503-250-1080. And some people are asking, I don't think we send one of those like bounce back texts.
No, so people are like, hey, are you getting this? Yes, we are.
We're getting them.
If you use the 250-1080, 503-250-1080, which by the way, you can still call Mike Lynch. He loves to take your calls. He answers all of them and we'll chat with you and answer all your sports queries. If you text in
sports queries,
we will get it. You just don't get the automatic text back.
Yeah. So if you get nothing back, it doesn't mean that we're not getting them. All right, so a couple of texts real quick here. If the NBA season ends mid-October, will the next season actually start in early November? The answer, it sounds like, is no.
Yeah.
It sounds like they might toy with the idea of the NBA
Christmas
starting on Christmas. Yep.
Which, you know, that's kind of one of those things that is people have been talking about that for several years. They've owned Christmas Day. It's remember that now the NBA, all the players, all the big guys, they have special Christmas shoes and they have special Christmas uniforms. And for me, I think this is a good idea. And I don't know if this is just going to be a one-time thing to try to get the schedule back on track or if this becomes permanent, but I think you could do a lot worse than starting the NBA season on Christmas.
And another text says, the scary thing about the Oklahoma State players, 3 of them tested positive for COVID, is that they caught it while attending a protest, which could mean bad news across the country.
Yeah. So again, we just no one
I didn't know that.
Yeah. No one knows exactly what this is going to look like as the months roll ahead. But we're seeing now every sports league, including college football, with a plan back, minus minus Major League Baseball. But it is interesting that everyone is going ahead with the no fans thing and like, you know, just kind of, you know, either the bubble play or less travel except for football, right? College football and the NFL are both like, what are you talking about? No, we're gonna play in our stadiums. Oh, no, we're going to have fans. I may have to have slightly less fans. Gene Smith started out with 15,000, possibly 60. I don't know. Like, they just, football just doesn't seem like they are going to be derailed by this. And you can either call that being optimistic or foolish, but it sure seems like they are pretty content on having this thing be as normal as possible. And maybe they're right, but it's, you're so far away from actual, you know, games. And it's almost foolish at this point to speculate what it's going to look like when it comes back as far as fan attendance.
So do you want politics and social commentary from your sports figures? This is the Vic Fangio edition, and then we'll get into the Drew Brees edition.
Yeah, no racism in the NFL, although he had to walk that back.
Well, I do sort of get annoyed in this world we've created where a figure like Vic Fangio can't really win.
Yeah.
If he says what he feels like, you demand he say something. He does. You don't like it. He has to apologize.
But that's the way he feels. I mean, I suppose you can, because he's going to do the, hey, I've been enlightened. But in reality, you're probably just trying to walk it back because 80% of your team is black and you just did, you stepped in it. And that's the same thing with Drew Brees.
Let me tell you what he said. But I'm just talking in general. This world we've created where you better say something. Nobody cares what Vic Fangio has to say about this.
No.
But he's the coach of the Broncos, so he felt compelled and probably felt pressured.
Yeah.
To say something. Maybe he was uncomfortable doing it, well, but he did.
We talked about this just the other day.
And I'll tell you what he said in a second.
That seemingly every coach, player, team, organization, you know, the Knicks got killed for not making
a statement. That's right. This is one where people are wanting to hear from all public figure types.
Might I suggest, though, read the room, Vic or Drew? But I guess that goes back to your, do you really want their honest opinion?
Well, we want their opinion, and then we don't like it. It's like, do you want social commentary and political commentary from your sports guys, or do you just want the ones that agree with your line of thinking?
Sure.
So, I don't know. Fangio gave his opinion. It's kind of, I mean, it's obviously, well, here's what he said. He said, this is a societal issue, and we all have to join in to correct. I think our problem in the NFL are along those lines are minimal. I think our problems in the NFL along those lines are minimal. And Vic Fangio, by the way, is a 61-year-old white guy, but he's been in the league for 33 years.
Yeah.
He says, we're a league of meritocracy. You earn what you get what you earn. I don't see racism at all in the NFL. I don't see discrimination in the NFL. We all live together, joined as one for one common goal.
And we all intermingle.
I had
a little cough.
In your throat, okay. Yeah, joined as one for one common goal, and we all intermingle and mix tremendously. If society reflected an NFL team, we'd all be great.
Black quarterbacks. Oh, what? Sorry, I had another frog in my
throat. Well, look, that's obviously a dumb thing to say, but don't you think that is Vic Fangio's perspective?
Yes.
Like, that's what he thinks. He's in his little coach bubble, probably never gets out of it, and that's what he thinks. So now he has to apologize for that.
Sure.
Because it's not satisfactory for people.
No. But again, it just, and maybe, like you said, he's a 61-year-old white guy, but you would think in a league that has battled this.
Right. And
for
he's been there
a long, long time.
He's been in it for 33 years.
Yes. And he's seen the evolution of the idea that blacks couldn't play quarterback because they weren't smart enough. And we've seen all the other things in the fact that you have a Rooney rule that gets brought up all the time. And there's a lack of how on earth you can be in the NFL and say that there isn't an issue there. It stuns me that you can be this woefully ignorant, but you're right in the fact that at least Vic Fangio in the case of Drew Brees, they're being honest. We say we want honesty.
Do you think maybe he's focusing more on in the locker rooms that he's been in and not at the grand NFL level?
It's possible.
Like, people all get along together and we're all one team. Not the owners aren't signing Colin Kaepernick because they're racist.
But again, I would go back to man, just read the room. It's not that hard.
Talk to players.
It just really isn't. Right. And when you are the head coach of a team that, again, is made up of 75 or 80% African-American players. And by the way, we'll get to the Drew Brees thing and he's going to face this too. Boy, I get wanting to express yourself and I get being honest, but at the same time, you gotta read the room and understand what you're dealing with. You
well, this is why guys like him don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, and people get mad about that. So just let the Vic Fangios of the world not say anything.
Yeah, I think what a good idea could have been for him is, and I feel like that these people who have a lot of people that care about what they say and follow them do have a bit of a responsibility to talk about it, but if he had gone up there and brought a couple of his players up there who have experience and said, hey, you know, this is how I feel our locker rooms are and this is how I feel the NFL is, but here are two players who have their own personal experiences, and then he can make a statement in what he wants to say, and he, you know, has examples to his right and left of people who have lived through it.
Well,
that could be a good balanced approach. Right?
And I think that would be a balanced approach. And I think there's a difference between having an opinion on, okay, we'll have a debate on whether or not Bryan Adams is great, right? Clearly, Bryan Adams is great, but I'm open to the idea that I could be wrong.
True greatness. Canadian greatness, but greatness.
But greatness, right? But there's wiggle room there. Right. It's an opinion based thing. But to come out and say something like just to a broader scope for the people that say there's no racism in the United States, that's not your opinion. You're wrong.
Right.
I mean, I guess it's your opinion, but it's a misinformed opinion and it's wrong. It's flat out wrong. And so I think therein lies the.
It's a fact.
Yes. When you can have a different opinion, but when your opinion goes in the face of facts.
Well, it's that whole thing of alternative facts. You can have a varying opinion, but you cannot have alternative facts.
Well, actually, they said you can have alternative facts. That came from
Did Giuliani say that truth isn't truth?
He said that, and then it was the press secretary that said alternative facts. But anywho, that's the Vic Fangio thing, where look, you can have your own opinion, but it's your opinion's wrong. It's just it's factually wrong. Yeah,
and it's not that he shouldn't be criticized for that. He should be. But at the same time, you know, it's like I guarantee you he felt pressured to say something. I think it's okay if the head coach of the Denver Broncos, who doesn't really have anything good to say on the issue, doesn't talk. I think that's okay. But it doesn't seem like we're in that world right now where everybody's got to say something.
Well, what did Rashad say, though, on the show?
We are demanding
you.
You
got to
be comfortable being uncomfortable. So I think a lot of people are trying, because they are uncomfortable with this, to put themselves out there because they want to support something they believe in.
And I'd like to believe that maybe that, because Fangio did walk it back and he said, I should have been more clear and I'm sorry. I wanted to make the point yesterday that there is no color within locker rooms. I have been in or on playing fields that I have coached on. Unfortunately, we don't live or work only within those confines. Outside of those lines, both in the NFL and in society, there is a lot of work to be done in areas of diversity and providing opportunities across the board for minorities. I'm sure that was crafted by a Broncos PR person, but I'd like to believe that Fangio is not a bad guy and that Fangio was like, God, I shouldn't have said that. And again, no one's asking anyone to be perfect. You can have an opinion. You can say something and then be like, ooh, now, okay, valid point. This happens to me all the time. I say something and someone will sit down and be like, hey, man, have you thought about this? And I'm like, ooh, no, I'm sorry. I once said on the air, I used the term, you know, I got gypped out of something. Never once considered that was a derogatory term. And someone was like, hey, man, you need to look up that word. And I was like, ooh, like, sorry about that. And I was referring to gypsies. Cotton picking, right, was something that I've used over the course of my life. And again, in my dumb mind, my dumb white guy mind, I was never like, oh crap, that's a bad thing to say. And someone pointed that out to me, and I was like,
so shouldn't we give you a little grace for that?
Well, yeah, I would hope so.
Right.
I would
hope so. Vic Fangio doesn't get grace. Vic Fangio, now he's an idiot and he's canceled and he has to apologize.
Yeah, which is why I said, hopefully that Vic Fangio has learned from something and he can walk it back, and he did, and that, you know, you can move on, and that this doesn't,
nothing he said
should be something that he loses a job over,
of course,
or
everyone
loses respect.
But I'm saying that this is why. You want people to speak up. This is why they don't want to.
Sure.
Right there.
Yeah, because they're scared.
You got to have a little grace. If this is exactly what Rashad said. It's a good point, Mike. Rashad was talking about this, was that yesterday?
Monday,
when we brought him in, is that this is going to be uncomfortable to talk about.
Yeah.
So when Vic Fangio makes it uncomfortable and you think he's wrong, which he is, well, how about a little grace?
Here's one thought.
Instead of him having to now apologize and never want to speak on the subject or any other subject again. See, this is where we go right back to where we were.
Yeah.
Right here.
We just bury it. And I hope that Fangio, I hope that it's a learning lesson, and that someone said, if you've been in the league that long and you don't see a problem, it's because you haven't listened. And hopefully this is one that he opens his ears and he listens, as opposed to doing what you're talking about, is I'm just going to bury my head in the sand and never say anything about it again and never change and never evolve.
You know what's difficult? Talking about something that you're uncomfortable about. So if you're put in a spot where you feel like you want to talk about that and you're really uncomfortable, guess what's really hard to do? Formulate your thoughts in a way that makes sense and might not, you know, and be exactly the way you want to say it, right? If Vic Fangio's statement, PR guy or not, helping him after his original comments was what he really wanted to say, he was sitting up there with the press in his face, making a statement, uncomfortable, and he didn't word it well. So I think that's also part of the grace, where it's like, people who are uncomfortable don't speak really clearly.
Yeah.
It's just not the case.
Well, and again, in a case like this, I'm with you. I hope that people give him the benefit of the doubt, and I hope he learns and kind of grows from it. And I think what Drew Brees said to me is worse than anything that Vic Fangio had to say.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what Drew Brees said. He's now canceled, but don't fall for the Twitter.
No, there's a fake thing going on that Drew Brees is retiring because of.
Because he's worried for his safety.
No, but I'll tell you
that's a fake tweet.
When you are Drew Brees and you say this again, man, read the room, because this isn't the woke folks. This isn't media members. This is teammates that are and other players around the league. Drew Brees did some real damage today for himself amongst the players in the NFL, and again, specific teammates, including some very important figures in that locker room.
He did an interview with Yahoo Finance, and we'll tell you what he said next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, gang. How are you? How the hell are you?
Doing great.
It's Wednesday.
It's great.
Is it a Wednesday?
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Apparently, I just went Tony the Tiger for some unknown reason.
So here's what Drew Brees said. He's facing backlash today. He was on Yahoo Finance.
Yeah.
And did an interview. Drew Brees, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, noted white man.
And I will say that, you know, by all accounts, pretty good guy. Drew Brees is beloved in the city of New Orleans and does a lot for charity. And, you know, Drew Brees is
always
well thought of.
Seems to me to play things pretty close to the vest. Like one of those Russell Wilson types where it's like a lot of about positive, what am I trying to say? Like he's just really image conscious and doesn't step over a line much and tries to, you know, like I said, play it a little close to the vest and just be liked by everyone, that whole thing. Brand aware, you know, that type of thing.
Sure.
So this is a little unusual that it's Drew Brees.
I know. He's not the guy think would be getting this.
Here's his quote to Yahoo Finance. I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag. He was asked about the protests and the form of protest, because there is talk that NFL players will begin kneeling again during the national anthem for the upcoming season based on the George Floyd stuff.
Yeah.
He says, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played. And when I look at the flag of the United States, I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. Every time I stand with my hand over my heart looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears thinking about all that has been sacrificed. Not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movement of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart, it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together, we can all do better, and that we are all part of the solution.
Didn't go over so well.
No. Manuel Sanders tweeted at him, just saying ignorant, shaking my head. Michael Thomas said, we don't care if you don't agree or whoever else. How about that?
Doug Baldwin said the reason my
by the way, is that Michael Thomas is
his receiver.
Receiver?
Yes.
Boy.
Well, and we'll get to Malcolm Jenkins, too, who is a longtime teammate of Drew Brees. Doug Baldwin said, the reason my children have to live in a world is that you won't empathize with their pain. It's because people like you are raising your children to perpetuate the cycle. Drew, you are the problem.
Yeah, Michael Thomas also tweeted, he don't know no better.
Nope. Malcolm Jenkins was crying and said that he was hurt. He said, our communities are under siege and we need help. And you're telling us that don't ask for help in that way. Ask for it in a different way. I can't listen to what you say when you're asking that way. We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments, who express those and push them throughout the world, the airwaves, those are the problems. It's unfortunate because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're someone that I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the F up. You know, it's and then LeBron James went on and said something. Aaron Rodgers had something to say about it.
Well, here's LeBron, since he's like super popular guy.
Yeah.
He said, wow, man. And then he did the hand on the face emoji, but black eye.
Yeah.
He did the black eye one. It is still surprising at this point. Sure isn't. Oh, he says, is it still surprising at this point? Sure isn't. You literally still don't understand why Cap was kneeling on one knee. Has absolutely nothing to do with the disrespect of America and our soldiers, men and women who keep our land free. My father-in-law was one of those.
Yep.
That's what LeBron said.
Snacks, Damian Snacks Harrison came out and said, how can you be in the locker room speaking to players and know the reasoning yet still be dumb enough to believe it's about the flag? Like how? ? He should know better than that, but he just doesn't care. Damn man, not Drew. And I think that's the point that people are really hitting home about is, for the love of God, it's not about a flag. And even if it is about the flag, which it isn't, I also like to point out that Colin Kaepernick was told by a former Green Beret to kneel. That was his idea in the first place. Is a flag worth more than human dignity? Is a flag worth more than human rights? And when Kaepernick knelt in quiet, silent protest, we killed him for it. And now what are we asking people? For quiet, silent, respectful protest, which is what he was doing in the first place. And I've heard other people point out that you can bring up your grandfathers all you want. And LeBron did bring this up, fighting in World War One and Two. Yeah, African-American soldiers were fighting that too. But when they came home to segregation. They came home to a GI Bill where they weren't allowed to go to school or get the housing that your grandfather got because of the color of their skin, even though they fought for the same country under the same flag that your granddad did. It's just such a multiple people have said it. It's selfish. It's selfish and it's narrow-minded on the part of Drew Brees. And he kind of doubled down on it. Drew Brees came out and said that, you know, let me find his comment, because he came out and tried to do the, hey, I understand where people are coming from, but he doubled down and kind of kept going back to the flag thing and the respect. And
well, didn't POTUS make it about the flag? Like,
yes.
Didn't that become,
that became
he
his
politicized
thing.
It yes. about the flag and the anthem.
Yes.
And it was never, that's what's scary here is Brees kind of seems to have fallen into that trap.
And so this is what
where it's another fastball from POTUS. POTUS has one pitch.
Yeah.
And it's always the same. You know it's coming, and we continue to fall for it and swing at it. I kind of don't understand that.
This
like,
is,
you know his playbook.
Exactly. That this and this has nothing to do
he
with
spun
disrespecting
that
troops.
Because he wants to divide everyone. So he spun that into it's about the anthem and the flag. And Brees, I would think, would be smarter than that to not have fallen for it.
Yeah. And this is what he said. He said, I love him. This is Drew Brees' response to the backlash. I love and respect my teammates. I stand right there with him in regards to fighting for racial equality and justice. I also stand with my grandfathers who risked their lives for this country and countless other military men and women who do it on a daily basis. He's taking it back to the military, which again, it baffles me that somehow Drew Brees is again trying to make a protest a protest about one thing, and he's trying to wrap it around the American flag and somehow about his father and his grandfather fighting in a war.
Well, and the, you know, that protest by Kaepernick, his message had to be done during the anthem or there's no tee to it.
Yep.
Right. That's why he got noticed. That's the whole point, was doing it during the anthem.
Yeah.
But then that became, well, you can do it, just don't do it during the anthem. Well, the whole point is to do it during the anthem so you see it.
Yeah.
and it's recognized.
Funny, so, we go back to this, get comfortable being uncomfortable, right?
So the idea of do it, don't do it during, just, you can protest, we're with you on the cause, but not during the anthem, just doesn't hold water.
I mean, I think the people who are countering it, they just don't want them to protest at all.
Yeah.
Right? Them, us, we, whoever, they don't want people protesting. Don't do it quietly. Okay, but you can do it here, but now that they're doing it this way, don't do it this way, do it this way. They just don't want protests.
And for someone saying that Trump wasn't president when Cap was protesting.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, he was.
What the hell?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What world's that guy living in?
Mike Pence went to a game and then left before it started because of players kneeling.
And Trump told him to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely became a political thing. He called them sons of bitches. He said, if you're kneeling during the anthem, get those sons of bitches off the field. I don't know what you're talking about when you say that this didn't happen. Yes, it did. So... It just baffles me that you had a guy who was vilified for this, that was run out of the league, and this became such a political hot point, and now we're back to the point of why can't you just peacefully protest? Well, you can't be mad about what's going on now and mad about what he tried to do several years ago. Otherwise, basically what you're saying is shut up and do it exactly the way we want it to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can protest, but only in ways that make us comfortable.
Which is why the players come back and say, this is the whole point.
This is the whole point.
All right. Coming up next on our show here tonight on The Fan, which is Sports Talk in Portland. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm buying time.
I see what you're doing there.
Not helping me much.
I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Isn't a 50-game Major League Baseball season kind of cool?
It's kind of off the chain.
Because that's maybe what we're going to get. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
It's kind of off the chain.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Now, I do want to be fair to Drew Brees. There are people that are coming out and saying, like, hey, what he said... ignorant, shouldn't have done it, but are saying you need to know this guy. Joe Horn, longtime teammate, said people should not be throwing Drew Brees under the bus, and they definitely need to pump the brakes on labeling him a racist. I know Drew Brees. He has done a lot to help black families in the black community in New Orleans. If Drew didn't love black families and low-income families, he wouldn't have helped the way he has over the years. People that are criticizing him like LeBron James and other celebrities don't know him. They need to check his resume. I love my race. I love New Orleans to death, but I know Drew Brees, and he is a good person. And until you have walked beside him and gotten to know him, his wife, his family, you definitely have to give him a pass on this one, because he does admit what he said was not good. He said, give him a pass on this one and give Drew a chance to rethink what he said and come back and make this right. I know he will. That from Joe Horn. But Malcolm Jenkins is a guy that does know Drew Brees, has been close to them, has been a teammate, and came out and had a very different view of this. But I just wanted to be fair that there is, you know, that is a former teammate, African-American, that came out in support of Drew Brees.
I love what Joe Horn said there. I think that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like somebody comes out and says something that people don't like. That Drew Brees has done a lot of good.
Yes.
And they're instantly canceled and apologizing and deemed a racist.
Yeah.
It's just too far.
And that's what Joe Horn is saying. Give him some time. Let him think about this. And I'm sure Drew Brees is sitting at home right now being like, oh boy. And hopefully he opens his ears. He listens a little bit, learns something. And again, give him a chance to make this right. And, you know, we'll see what happens. This does not make Drew Brees a horrible human being, nor does it make someone that you should vilify or say this is everything that's wrong with the, you know, everything that's wrong with the world. Drew Brees is not the number one problem that we have right now.
Okay, so they play 56 games in college baseball.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I knew they played I guess I didn't know it was 56. My guess would have been somewhere in the 40s, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they play 56, bro. And if Major League Baseball and its players can't agree, there is talk that Major League Baseball's commissioner can force a 50-game season.
Yeah, I guess
based on previous language.
Yeah, they were saying that when they agreed to the salary cut and, you know, a shortened season, a prorated season, that supposedly there's some language in there that they think the commissioner can just say it's 50 games and the players will have to abide by that.
Right. Now, am I the only one that thinks that would be badass? A la the 50-game or whatever it was, 55-game NBA shortened season,
Well, where, it certainly means every game would count, and that's, well, that's something what I mean. That's not, you know, baseball's not used to.
Do you remember the NBA season that was shortened?
Yeah.
That was incredible.
I think the Spurs won that one.
It was the best season ever because every game mattered.
Every game counted.
So in college basketball, it's the same sport, college basketball, and they play 40, 45 games, whatever, plus the tournament.
Sure.
Or postseason tournaments. And yet in the NBA, you got to play 82 and 8 million playoff series, right? Same with baseball. You play 162 games in regular season Major League Baseball. In college, same sport, they wrap up a season in 56 games. It can be done. It's not chintzy. It's not asterisk. It's freaking exciting.
Yeah. Well, and the purists are going to say that it's not baseball because the beauty of the baseball season is you have to be the best team over a long stretch of time. But I think,
yeah, but again, college baseball, why do we all accept that 56 is plenty for college baseball?
Well, because you can't play 162 college
baseball.
Also, not
games. A lot of people watch college baseball.
No.
So.
Well, right, but all I'm saying is we accept that that's fine.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever bitched about the length of the college baseball season. But the second you mention anything short of 162 games in Major League Baseball,
yeah,
it's blasphemy.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, come on, it will be fine.
It will be fine. In fact, you could make the argument that you'd get a truer sense because they always say that in baseball, there's the difference between a great 162 game season, see the Seattle Mariners, 116 wins, and what happens when you get to the postseason, right? The regular season is about depth and being able to overcome injuries and having a deep pitching staff. You get to the postseason and you get one or two great arms, or you've got a kick-ass, you know, guy at the end of the game, you know, well, now in today's bullpen world, two or three, but guys that can shorten the games, it's a difference maker. It's why baseball, I think, has more suspense than most sports leagues. Because I think it's the biggest difference between the regular season and the postseason, and this would bridge that gap. The regular season would become more like a postseason.
I think that it's obviously it'd just be a one-off, but I think it would be sweet.
I don't know.
Because every game, I'm telling you, the way managers would manage the staffs and the way they would just try. I mean, you just don't have much margin for error, man.
I mean,
show up.
I will watch it and I will enjoy it, but it won't be what I would prefer.
It's going to be weird because of no fans.
Yeah.
But I think the intensity of it could go up because, well, again, as there's so few games.
It's so weird in baseball, too. You get guys going on the DL all the time, and you got little dings.
You get unlucky injury months.
Yeah, I don't know.
Remember the Nationals last year, right?
They were terrible.
Like at the 20 games under 500 in May, and they won the World Series.
At the trade deadline, they were bunk, which, again, it's going to be a different kind of season. I'm with you, Rob, in that I think it would be interesting. It would be different. And maybe a one time, maybe again, it kind of lights a fire because every game counts. But I tend to agree with Mike that it would be very strange to see a 50 game baseball season, and it would go really, really quickly.
If they do it, I bet we love it.
Well, of course we'd love it. It's baseball.
It's baseball.
And it's the sport that we love, and it comes back in a year where we didn't have it.
And meaningful baseball, like right from the get-go.
But it will be fun. But I don't think you're going to get a lot of baseball fans to change their mind about what they prefer in a baseball season.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like I said, it's a one-off. I'm not suggesting a 50-game season every year. I just think it'll be cool to do it once.
Yeah. I mean,
just like the NBA.
Yeah.
Although I think the NBA, I really think in the NBA they could shorten the season and be just fine.
Sure. But
there's more movement for that.
But they could in baseball, too. The thing about baseball is the numbers, and it's you know, it's historically tied to that, and that all means something. But you're right in that if you came back next year and said the baseball was going to be 82 games, sure. You know, but part of the greatness of baseball, and it'd be even better if we had a team that wasn't 2.5 or 3 hours away. There's something great about baseball being every day. And, well, I mean, you know what I mean. Essentially every day. You got travel days, you get days off. But during the baseball season, if you're a Yankee fan, if you're a Royal fan, Met fan, Mariner fan, it's great that most nights you can go home and you can turn on the TV and there it is. I love that.
It's so good.
I love that during the baseball season, and we go up to 5-6 games a year and we make the drive, that my brother will call me on a weekend or like on a Thursday and be like, hey, you know, the M's are playing a late one on Friday. You want to take the day off work and drive up? Or and just, and you can go up and in most places, you can get a cheap ticket because there's 162 games, and so the seat isn't outrageous. When I went to Boston last year, I went and sat on the center field wall in Fenway Park. Cost me $26. Because why? It was game 100-whatever against the Toronto Blue Jays. And I could sit in Fenway and have a dog and a beer and watch it, and there's greatness in that. But a one-off, I'm with you on that. I think it could be interesting.
So it would still be daily. I mean, who knows how they would structure it, if they would even do it.
Yeah.
But if they did a 50-game season,
which the players are not going to want,
it would be daily. So you don't lose anything there. It's just shortened. Or I've also heard a suggestion where if they do go to the 50-game thing, because of testing and all the players that need to be tested and things, they would only play every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So you would create then sort of a football-y type feel where you're waiting. You can't wait for Thursday because your team's playing their rival in a 3-game series Thursday, well, 4-game series or whatever, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Right? So it would totally change that dynamic you're just talking about, but still might be, again, for just a one-off, might be kind of interesting and cool.
Yeah.
And create some, some suspense.
And it certainly,
excitement.
It certainly would be a one-off because Major League owners are going to be like, hey, you know what would be a great idea? Giving up 100-plus games of revenue, that would be super duper. So you're right. It is a one-off thing, and it'd be interesting to see a marathon sport turn into a sprint and how managers would handle it. And because once you got back up and rolling, right, you know, it allowed guys to ease into it, and you really couldn't ease into it that much, right, because every game. But let's say you get 10 games, and then after that, it's kind of – all hands on deck, right? Let's no days off. Let's go.
It's like the last month of the season.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up next, Souk with a primetime follow-up animal trials.
Pig trials.
Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.